Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, good morning, Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico. The day after the conversion, all things legal, gives call at 260-1870 or text us on the Oakland Heart Talk and Text Line. Good morning, Albert.
Good morning, Doug. I was wondering if you had anything you might want to talk about this morning.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the Florida State-Miami game.
Right.
I actually, my voice is coming back. It's a little... I was concerned whether I could even speak this morning. I wouldn't be a good fan if I had a voice left.
You attended the game?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And thank God for that extra hour of sleep, too, for daylight saving, or standard time, getting out of daylight savings time. Yes, I was there. Actually, I'd filmed the last play. It's up on my Facebook page. It was, you know, I don't know how you put it in perspective, but 64 years ago, we're still talking about the Halloween run of 64 years ago with Billy Cannon. We're still 50 years later, we're still talking about Jones to Brad Davis against Ole Miss in 1972. You know, the Bluegrass Miracle was in 2002. I think this game will be one of those moments where 50, 75 years from now, people will be talking about this game. It sort of had a feel of an Ali-Frazier fight. I mean, each team threw were just throwing their best punches. And, LSU was just made a couple of plays to win it. And, I don't even know where to start. I think, first of all, they had two controversial calls. Remember the call you had at the end of the half, the fumble? You saw that? And
actually, no, I was very disappointed. So my great niece got married at Covey Rise in Husser, Louisiana.
Who gets married on the night of the LSU-Alabama game?
Well, that's why it was available, probably.
Yes. That and every other wedding facility in Louisiana.
Exactly. So, probably. But I love her, and so we went, and we convinced the bartender to turn the game on in the bar. And so we did watch a little bit of it. And then at 9 o'clock, they walked in and turned off the TV, said, okay, time to leave. So here we were, stuck in the middle of nowhere. So I listened to it on the radio on the way home. So no, I did not see the two controversial calls. I heard, the WWL newscasters, sportscasters talking about it during the game, the commentators.
And my only point you go ahead. I'm sorry.
What happened with the fumble? Yes.
What happened was, it was two aspects of it. One, say LSU was winning 7-3. Alabama's driving about a minute and 17 left in the first half. And, LSU had played a phenomenal first half in especially defensively. And the way they had Bryce Young schemed was brilliant. The way they had Harold Perkins spying him. And there was a fumble, a pass caught in the flat. It was stripped. And the player who fumbled actually touched the ball, but his foot was out of bounds. At the same time, LSU's player recovered the fumble. So in other words, you had the ball on the ground, LSU's player grabbed the ball, and at the same time, Alabama's the player who fumbled, his foot was out of bounds, and they simultaneously touched it. Now, I think the replays show that LSU had possession of it at the time it was touched, but they called it the ball dead because the Alabama player had was touching the ball while he was out of bounds. But it was a question as to whether – I don't think there was a question. I think LSU had possession at the time
right.
The ball was touched out of bounds. That was number one. Number two, the offensive interference.
The tip. That's the one I heard on the radio on the way back.
Now my point in saying this is, you know, as fans, if we lost the game, we would be talking about those calls and how to turn things around. But what winning teams do is when they get these breaks against them, gritty teams do, is they overcome them. I mean, they overcame these two calls. And that is sort of the hallmark of Brian Kelly's teams right now. They're just gritty. They're just tough. They're mentally tough. As the game goes on, their mental toughness is emboldened. It's just incredible that the adversity they overcame. And look, this was the Heisman Trophy winner from last year. This is Bryce Young. Probably going to be a top three pick in the NFL draft. And they just had him down. They had him – he completed 49% of his passes. And they just had him schemed up. And really what they did, they had Harold Perkins, who's a freshman, who's probably progressed further than Devin White had as a freshman. And what he would do is he would spy. And their goal wasn't to sack Bryce Young. Their goal was to keep your hands up and keep him contained. Keep your hands up and contained. In fact, the first interception that Bryce Young threw, which paralleled the 2019 game, because our first possession, Alabama drives the field. In 2019, two of fumbles. We recovered at about 4 or 5 yard line. And I told Michelle, I said, let's get a turnover here. We'll be like 2019. And sure enough, they sort of spied on him. Bryce Young had a possible path up the middle on a third down and 5 at the goal line to possibly run, but the spy stopped it and also blocked his view. He threw the pass and Converse intercepted. But part of the reason was because they had the spy there, and also because of the fact that he obstructed his view and didn't see Converse when he threw the ball. So it was just brilliant scheming to stop a Heisman Trophy winner. The other thing I thought was important for them to win is that they would have to make no turnovers, which they didn't, and they didn't make any special team mistakes except for kicking the ball out of bounds in the fourth quarter when they took the lead 24-21. And the other part of this perspective is this team was put together by duct tape last year. I mean, when this – you know, last fall, after LSU lost to Kansas State in the Whatever Bowl with 39 scholarship football players, LSU was a dumpster fire. I mean, an absolute dumpster fire. And we were just hoping maybe a 6-6 or 7-5 record would be a good start after they hired Brian Kelly. And now we are talking about think about Labor Day weekend. We lose to Florida State. Who would have thought we were talking about going to Atlanta, playing for the national, being in the playoff conversation, which we are now. We have a clear path to go. I mean, it's going to be tough, but we have a clear path to go. If we win out, we're there. And we have now, as of today, a Heisman Trophy candidate who was in a quarterback controversy 8 weeks ago as to whether he'd even be the starting quarterback. Just an amazing story. So
amazing. Yeah, no, after the Florida State game, they were putting for sale signs in Brian Kelly's yard and, you know, couldn't believe that this is where we are and et cetera. And, you know, he hung tough and got his players on board, got them believing. You know, hey, and turn Boutte around, right? I mean, think about, you know, all of the whole quitter mentality people were throwing on him, you know, and he brought Boutte and said, hey, look, you know, we can be good and we need you to be here, and we need you to show up every week. And he did. He showed up last night. He caught a bunch of passes and was a factor, definitely a factor in the win. So, I loved what Coach Kelly said after the game. He said, we're going to celebrate for 24 hours and focus on Arkansas. We're not going to lay an egg. That's what great coaches do. They win the games they're supposed to win. And so, you know, that's where Les Miles sometimes, you know, would lose to Troy. They'd lose to, you know, he'd have these, you know, goose egg kind of games where, gee whiz, you just were world beaters and you beat, you know, Auburn, and now you come back and you lose to some team you're supposed to blow out. He's going to get them focused and ready. Now, Liberty just beat Arkansas, so they should have no problem with them. But he's the kind of coach going to get them up for the game. Same thing with Auburn. Auburn's just on a tailspin. A&M's on a tailspin. Yeah, and so the same thing with them. You know, you got these three games left. You can win out. So here's my question for you, Doug. Don't be a homer. Where's LSU in the rankings?
Well, there's two rankings, the CFP, which are 10th right now.
No, and the Doug Cinceri rankings.
No, I think in the AP, they'll crack the top 10. They'll be about 9 or 10. But in the CFP, which selects the top four, gets selected to be in the college football playoffs, I think they're going to move up from 10 to 7. They'll jump out Alabama. You know, you got TCU that's undefeated. You have Georgia's going to be number one. Ohio State's undefeated. Sure. Michigan's going to be there. So you have a lot of good teams that are undefeated.
Yeah, you got Oregon as well, yeah. I think. And actually, Tennessee's still going to be out of them, right? Because Tennessee beat them.
Right. So I think they're in the CFP, which is the one that counts. Because, you know, you have AP is probably heavily weighted to East Coast, you know.
Well, the joke about that is, you know, if you want to know who's going to win the election, don't look at the polls. Look at what Vegas is saying.
That's right.
Look at where people are putting money, right? And same thing with this. You'll have a team that's, you know, number 17, ranked number 17 in the AP, and they've got a team that's not ranked that's a 6-point favorite.
Right, right.
You know, so it's just it's look at Vegas and you'll know what a real top 25 should look like, because those folks know what they're doing.
And it's, you know, LSU only has to beat Arkansas or Texas A&M to make the Atlanta trip. They only have to win one of the two. Yeah. I mean, hopefully they'll win both. They should win both. And
get to go play Georgia, right?
Get to play Georgia.
They look pretty good in Tennessee.
Get to play Georgia. Maybe LSU is so young that they don't realize how good Georgia is, maybe. And I think that's playing.
So they had some pretty amazing calls while we're talking about this couple of calls. I was watching ESPN, and Kentucky had like a 3rd-and-2 from their own 30, and the guy was behind the line of the game by a yard. And they gave him the first down, and they went and reviewed it, and the call was confirmed. The Tennessee game you didn't see, but the Tennessee game, the ball gets knocked out of Hooker's hands in the end zone. His lineman picks it up. His legs hit the ground before he crosses the goal line. It's clear safety in favor of Georgia. I mean, they review it. And the ball is at the half yard line. It's amazing. Why do we have replay? From what the announcers were saying in the car, the tipped ball on the interference was a travesty. Like, what are you talking about? You know, instead of third down and fourth down from the 6, you bring them for first down from the 2 to Alabama, and so. It's like, why do you have replay? You know, unless somebody in the booth decides, hey, look, this is going to make for a better game. If you know, whatever the case may be, right? I don't know.
As much as you take the human element out of it, you can't. I guess you could mitigate it, but you can't take it out. That's what I was teasing was teasing people around us when we go to replay. I said, do you know where this replay is going? It's going 40 miles east of Tuscaloosa in Birmingham. So hold your breath.
Exactly.
But, you know, again, they overcame it. I mean, a lot with the Saints season we talked about was we didn't get this call or this happened or this happened, and we lost.
Right.
But the great teams overcome it. And we're not talking about the penalties in the context of them overcoming it and not succumbing to it. And that makes a great team. It's very interesting when you watch. I go to the Tiger Walk before the game where they offload the players down Victory Hill. And I watched Coach O. He was very entertaining when he would walk the Tiger Walk. He looked like the Tasmanian Devil in the sense he was just jumping all over the place, high-fiving everybody, you know, posing, and it was just interesting. And then you watch Coach Kelly off the bus. He looks like he's a lawyer walking to the courthouse ready to prosecute a capital murder case. I mean, he is just locked in, focused.
He smiled in the post game interview. I mean, he almost smiled. I saw that. They'll hit that extra point, and he's like, okay, that's business. That's what we do. You know, he didn't jump around and go crazy. And you know what? He's not a player's coach. He's a coach. You know, my mother told me when I was very young, you know, it was kind of kids were calling their parents by their first name and that kind of stuff, you know. And I did that one time, and my mother looked at me, and she said, I want you to remember something. She said, you have a lot of friends. She said, I'm your mother, and you're gonna call me that. And she made it very clear that as much as she loved me, et cetera, there's a line of respect that you're going to give to me. And I think he commands that. He instead of being their friend like the last two coaches were, right? And then you lose them on the field, and you wow. You know, you don't have that discipline, and you don't have there was a situation or two in the game that I did see, the Alabama game, where, you know, an Alabama player was up in the LSU player's face and kind of nudging him, and they LSU player put his hands up and backed off. They made it very clear, we're not going to get baited into a penalty. We're going to be the team that's bigger than that. We're not going to be stupid. And so he's got these kids thinking in the right direction. And just hopefully, we went out to the SEC what happens.
I still cannot believe that we're talking after 6 weeks ago, we're talking about a national champ being in the conversation.
Right.
A national champ, and we have a quarter. Yeah.
What I want to say before we go to break, because I know we're probably the one.
Yeah.
I looked at something on ESPN yesterday, and they were talking about a 12-team bracket if the season ended today. Alabama and LSU would be in, Michigan and Ole Miss. Georgia would be playing Tulane. How about that? Oregon, USC.
Kudos to Tulane.
Never thought that, right, from what happened last year, barely making a bowl, and Willie Fritz,
they had a disastrous season last year. I think it was 2-10
Last year was disastrous. Put it all together. So, you know, a lot of good things happened. And Pelicans, you know, Saints, I think if we could pull out a win Monday, we're back in the, you know, back in the saddle, right, leading the division, because they got the rest of the division has some tough games this week. So, it's just, you know, Louisiana teams are doing well, and it's fun to see. And then last comment, Monday night, believe it or not, college basketball. Can you believe that? First game of college basketball starts Monday night.
Oh, yeah. That's this week. That's right. So there you go.
You
call it the sports equinox. Basketball, baseball, and football going on at the same time. All right, let's go to a break. Congratulations, Tulane. Let's go to a break. Doug Sinceri, Albert Nico, your Weekend Lawyers. All things legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, we're back. Man, if that doesn't give you, make your hair stand up, nothing will. All right. Couple of things. We got Justin on the phone. Before we go to Justin, again, wanted to kudos to Tulane. Heck, you know, they're in the conversation, and they could be. I always thought that Tulane could be like a Miami University in its heyday. You know, you got when you get a scholarship at Tulane, that's a $300,000 deal. New Orleans, you know, you have a lot to offer, and Coach Fritz is tapping the potential that hadn't been tapped since Tommy Bowden. Also, as far as the Saints and Ravens, I want to give kudos to Mike Haas, who is doing a fantastic job this year as play-by-play. And, you know, I enjoy listening to him. And, he, you know, I think he's really, really, you know, turned down the sound. I like Troy Aikman, but I'd rather listen to Mike on Monday night. So Mike can do
exactly. So. Well, and also so there's a way to sync the game. That's everybody's problem with listening to Mike, because you have to listen to it on the Odyssey app. If you listen to the game on the Odyssey app, then you can pause it, and you pause it until it syncs with what's coming across your screen. And so then the sound will sync with the game. Yeah. So just quick little reminder on that, but it's so much better to hear the local broadcast. And Haas has been the perfect replacement for Henderson. I mean, he's just done a great, great job.
And that's what I said. I said, you know, as the Saints teams, hopefully they'll get better. He'll have those iconic calls like that Jim did, because the Saints were
right.
Did some wonderful things, and he does
right.
A great
Hakeem
job.
Dropped the ball. Right,
Chris, right. That's right. Pigs will fly. The Saints are
exactly.
Going to the Super Bowl. All right. Let's go to phone lines. Let's go to Justin. Justin, who is the honorary beneficiary of the Nico and Sincerity Charitable Trust, which is unfunded.
Hello, yes, first of all, hello, Doug and Albert, and thanks for letting me be part of the show. I am calling about a trust, but I do want to say congratulations to LSU and Tulane on an impressive win. Yeah. And if the Saints don't get encouraged by that, they're hopeless.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, you know how.
Tell you who's hopeless is Michael Thomas. What a joke.
I was going to throw that softball at you later in the show.
$20 million a year to wear street clothes.
All right, so we gotta pay him for not doing work.
For not performing, yeah. Yes, that's right.
You know, that's shameful. I'm telling you. But anyway, let's get to the trust thing. And I'm going to set this up by saying I love my dad. You know who my dad is, Doug, right?
Yes, that's it. The cowboy. Okay.
Right. Well, I just wanted a relationship with him. I never cared about his money, his inheritance. And I never thought about that. And then he dies. And I was such in grief. I was so grieving. And I had to go to this will reading. And I hated that. And I'm saying I'm in a trust. And I'm saying I had no idea what a trust was. Well, my trust is in good hands with two trustees. They take care of me. But my point is that how much, I mean, I would never wrench them out of their hands by going to court. I would never do that. But I'm saying if I need like $100 bump or $200 extra, why do these trustees give me a hard time about it?
Well, Albert, you want to take that one?
Well, yeah. So there's a probably a spendthrift provision in the trust which says, listen, the purpose of this is to keep as much money in the trust as we can keep in the trust for a longer period of time. That way we want to make it last. We want to make sure that the beneficiary has sufficient funds to make it and keep them comfortable through their lifetime, right? Keep them in a kind of the same financial situation they were in when your dad was still alive, right? You know, again, it's a trustee is whenever we set up trust, we make sure that we at least talk to the trustee or have the settlor of the trust talk to the trustee and make sure they know what they're getting into because, you know, they don't want to be the person that has to say no, right? I mean, especially you see so many parents today that don't even want to say no to their kids, and saying no to your kids sometimes is the best thing you can ever do. So
I would agree with that. I would agree with that.
Right. So, you know, it's a difficult situation. So I think a lot of it will depend on the nature of the ask from the beneficiary, how frequently the beneficiary asks. You know, sometimes the trustee wants to pay whatever expenses directly. Hey, look, my car broke down. I need a new transmission, whatever. Okay, look, we're going to write a check directly for us to the mechanic shop, right? Make sure that the funds are administered properly and the beneficiary is not using the funds for other than their maintenance support, et cetera. So
stop right there. Wait, excuse me. Stop right there. I would never lie to my trustees. I give them all the receipts and I tell them what I'm doing. And I realized, because I could have bought a house with my dad's money, but it wasn't there for that. He was like, take care of my dental work, my medical work, car maintenance. He didn't say, hey, Justin, here's your trust. You can go buy a Rolls Royce. He didn't do that. And I would never
let me ask you, is your trustee a family member?
No, sir, it's not. She's not.
Okay. All right.
They're not a family member. They're actually out of Baton Rouge, and they're some of the sweetest people I've ever met. And they do take care of me, so I would never badmouth them, and I would never lie to them.
It was just a question about the relationship because it makes it even harder.
No, that's fine. No, I'm not related. I'm not related to them at all. No, sir.
Trustee, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So then, you have all the sibling issues that fall into that as well. You know, this way.
The sibling matters I'm sorry, you're blacking out a little bit. My sibling things are all taken care of. We're all on our own now. So I'm just dealing with me now.
Yeah.
And my siblings, they're on their own.
Well, you know, go ahead, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, you go ahead.
No, you got it. This is your time, brother.
Okay, well, all right. It took 3 years. And at the time my dad died, I was telling you, I was grieving over his death. I didn't know what a trust was. It took 3 years before everything was settled. And I said, thank God it's over with. Because I'm telling you, going through a settlement with a family after a father's or mother's death,
sure,
you really don't want to go through it. You just don't want to.
Absolutely. My generic advice, and this does not to you, Justin, just since we're talking to trustees. If you're a beneficiary in a trust, my generic advice is be nice to your trustee. Do not alienate them. They're your friend.
I've always wanted people.
Because
I would never be rude to anybody.
No. I'm just using an example just for people listening. Because we often get calls. We often get calls from a beneficiary complaining about their trustee, and I read the trust, and they have discretion on how to dole out the money. And I said, first of all, you don't agitate. And I said, I've had some people wanting to sue the trustee, and I'm like, let me tell you something. If you sue,
that's not
going to
do any good.
Because they use your money to defend your suit.
That's right.
So
that's exactly right.
So, we always try to appeal to their better nature.
Well, Doug, one more thing before I get off the phone. Why would I make things harder for myself?
Right.
Of course.
But you see,
you catch more flies with sugar. Right.
And if everybody thought that way, our file cabinets would be empty.
Right.
So
and you'd be out of a job.
I'd be out of a job. I'd be,
Oh, come on. I'm going to get off the phone, but thank you so much for talking to me. And I love you guys. I love your families. Y'all have a great day, and I'm enjoying your show, okay?
And just a point of business as far as the Nico and Sinceri Charitable Trust, the check is not in the mail, okay? The check is not in the mail.
I don't want you to pay me. I don't want a check from you.
That's what I'm telling you. I'm saying you're not getting one. So that's it. You're just getting good wishes. You just get good wishes. All right.
Let's take care, bud.
Thanks much. Let's go to a break. Doug Sinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We'll be right back after this brief time. Hey.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hey, we're back. Doug Sinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We have a caller. You'd think he'd be sleeping late today because he's not working this morning. And that's Mike.
You got that extra hour.
You got that extra hour, and you don't have to work today, and you're up listening to us, Mike. What's the deal?
I'm working in the Superdome already, so I'm here.
There you go. So if you play a Monday night game, you're still working in the Superdome on Sunday morning.
Yeah, gives you an extra day to work to get prepared. But that's not what I'm working on. I'm working on this damn rule with LSU last night.
Yes.
It's killing me. So I just wanted to study the rule because it makes no sense. It doesn't make any, So in the press box last night, the NCAA or team officials handed out the actual rule. It's Rule 4, Section 2, Article 3A, which just states the basis of what you've been talking about. A ball not in player control, other than a kick that scores a field goal, take that part out, is out of bounds when it touches the ground, a player, a game official, or anything else that is out of bounds. So if a game official had touched that ball, it's still Alabama ball. Here's my point. Alabama didn't have control of the ball.
Correct.
No one had control of the ball.
That's the same thing, Mike. when Doug was telling me about it. I didn't see it, but when he said that, I'm like, well, wait a minute. Unless Alabama has control, what difference does it make if he stepped out?
Because he's, quote-unquote, the last person to have touched it. But in almost every other rule that I'm looking at, and ruling Section 2 is all about out of bounds, and one of them is a onside kick. So typically, what's the rule if you're out of bounds and you want to get back in the game? You have to establish yourself back
right.
in bounds before you can be a part of the play. But yet, in this one, I'll just reach over and touch it, irrespective of whether LSU had gotten control. LSU was going for it, and he just has to reach out and touch it and be out of bounds. That is the most – it's to me, it's when these things happen, like if this rule isn't changed somehow, I don't know how – in most – every situation I've found, if you're out of bounds, you are not in the play, except for this one. And then it benefits your team. How is that possible?
It benefits the player that is the offending party. In other words, he made a mistake.
Who also has the ball. That team has the ball. So you benefit your team by being out of bounds and not – if he'd have reached out and you know, grabbed the ball and kind of pulled it towards him, but he just – all he has to do is touch it.
Right. If you possess the ball out of bounds, maybe it would be a dead ball. But the fact that he touched it – now, you know, it's similar back – you know, the fumble rule. When you used to fumble, you know, and then the ball advances, I think in the fourth quarter they don't allow you to advance it because
right.
they don't want you to benefit by a mistake. That was the whole spirit of the, you know, why they had the rule. And so basically, as you're saying, Mike, man, it sounds like you come from a family of lawyers, huh?
I know
you did as a judge. You articulated very well. Is that, you know, you should not have a rule that benefits a mistake that you make. And you're right. If they don't look at it now, they never will, but they should.
Well, it goes against every other rule that you have about out of bounds.
Right, right.
You're out of bounds, you're out of bounds. You go into the end zone and bat a ball back. You have to establish yourself in the field of play almost every time that I've seen, except for this. Now,
right.
it's just, I don't know how you change the rule, but to me, if you're out of bounds and you touch the ball, it should exclude you from recovering the football.
There you go.
Right.
Well, we have that concept in law. It's called conflict of law. Sometimes you do have conflict, and then you got to see in the conflicting laws which one prevails. You know, what is the what is the basis or what is the spirit behind the law? And so you're right, and I never thought about that. There are several rules that say that LSU should have had possession based on how do you establish possession, right?
Out of bounds can't establish possession.
Right, right. And also, too, I personally think he had control of the ball before it was touched by Alabama where they missed it again. But hey,
break coming.
You got it. Well, Mike,
anyway, I just wanted to get my two cents in. Love your show. Keep it up.
And you're doing doing a great job too. Keep up the great work. And we'll listen for you tomorrow night at 7:00. All right, going to a hard break. Doug Sinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers. We'll be right back. Hey, we're back. Doug Sinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers. Ran a little long. We're going to go to Lighthouse News, local news. We've got Ed and from Hammond and Dee from Washington, if you can hold through the break. We'll talk a little bit. Well, I guess we'll talk a couple of things, Albert. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about trust with Justin. And also updates with Hurricane Ida claims. Got a fact scenario I want to pose to you, especially for people who have had adjustments with appraisal and with some other rights they may have even after appraisal. So
back to the out of bounds thing.
Yes,
it's the same rule in basketball. So if there's a little scrum for the ball and somebody's foot is out of bounds when they're touching it, it automatically goes to the other team, which is not what happened in this scenario. In football, right. apparently it goes to the team that had the ball prior to
possession.
The scrum.
Right.
Yeah. had it's just
who had possession before that, you know, before it was touched out of bounds. Yeah. The question that was twofold, because I still think LSU had possession of the ball before the Alabama player touched it out of bounds.
Right.
You know, and so that was right. The second aspect of it that was perplexing.
Well, there was another rule. I don't know if you saw the Kentucky game as well. They went in 21-17. They go to punt. Kentucky goes to punt towards the end of the game, and the punt, the snap goes over the Kentucky punter's head, and he runs back 15 yards to their own 3-yard line, grabs the ball quickly, goes to punt it. The Missouri player dives for the ball and hits the punter, and they called roughing the punter on that play because the punter was still in the tackle box.
I'm going to give a comment about officials. I used to be an official, and I'll give it on the other side of the break after national local news. Yeah, but I'm going to give a comment about officials just in general and how they hurt the game. We'll see you in 10 minutes on All Things Legal for hour number two.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.